Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Welcome back with the Junkies, coming to you live on 106.7 The Fan and NBC Sports Washington. Presented by Crop Metcalf, the official heating and cooling company of the Junkies. Looking to be their next five-star HVAC technician or plumber? Visit CropMetcalf.com to join their team. I'm John Paul Flame, joined by Eric Bickle, Jason Bishop, and Johnny Cakes Auville. It is the foursome. But joining us right now is the head coach of the Washington Capitals, Peter Laviolette, powered by BetQL. Bet smarter and beat the books. Download the BetQL app today or visit BetQL.com. Good morning, coach.
Hey, good morning, guys. How you doing?
You know, I don't know that we've asked this before. What is the morning routine for you? I think before you said, are you a big coffee guy? I think a Dunkin' guy. I think you've said that. What is your morning routine?
Well, respecting New England guy is not a Dunkin' guy.
Oh, really? Okay.
Correct. So, let me ask you this, coach.
If you ever been in New England, okay, you know there's one brand and one brand only. That's Dunkin'.
So what if somebody's trying to act all fancy and walks around with a Starbucks cup in Boston? Is that guy, like, shunned? I mean, is that guy looked down on?
He might get beat up in that. You know, if you're close to, if you're in Boston itself, you might get beat up if you're walking around the Starbucks cup.
That is hilarious.
But Dunkin's just been there forever, and it's kind of like, it's like Tim Hortons up in Canada with regard to New England, you know? So
right.
Dunkin's it. And I like Starbucks, you know, I like all kinds of coffee. I am a coffee guy. So, I mean, it's been good.
Do you knock out a workout in the morning or?
So we come in this morning I was taking a couple of comforters. I had coaches living with me, and just with the way the year went, it was more of a frat house than a family house. And so my wife's been in Florida, and
right,
nobody's families have really been around because of the year. It's been crazy. And so one coach moved out, and the other coach is going to move above the garage, and my family's going to come in. So I took a quick run to the dry cleaners to try and drop off some dry cleaning stuff. But I don't know if you're expecting – you're expecting to get good hockey details. I guess we found out what kind of coffee I like and who does the chores. So,
so you're running like a flop house for assistant coaches at the Laviolette house. That's what's going on.
I am, but my wife's coming in, so we got to get in check here. Like we got to, you know what I mean? Like my wife's coming in, and she gives me a list before she gets here. Like those sheets better be changed and this, that, and I'm
right,
like, all
right, right.
Okay, all right.
Right.
So yeah.
Isn't that when you respond? Well, the playoffs are almost here. I can't worry about changing the sheets.
I say that to her sometimes. Like it might have some merit. You know what I mean? Like, honey, I'm in charge of an NHL team. I got to get in and figure out the Bruins and the power play and the penalty kill and lineups and just make sure those sheets are clean. Just make sure the sheets are clean.
Right.
Now, will your wife and I don't know if your daughter or extended family, will they go to every playoff game?
So they're coming in. My kids are in school. I got a son that's graduated from Plymouth State just this weekend, so I'm pretty proud of him.
Nice.
Plymouth State.
Congrats.
Very good.
And, but he's going back for a fifth year, and I think he's going to take some courses towards his master's because he didn't get his hockey season. He was the captain of the team at Plymouth State. And then he tried out for the baseball team. He hadn't played since high school, and he made it his senior year. And so he's going to go back and play hockey and baseball in
a fifth year. That's awesome.
Yeah, so he graduated, though, so he got his degree. My other son is going back for one more year down at Florida Gulf Coast, and my daughter is just this past weekend finished her freshman year at Boston College playing softball. So they're all coming in, which is great. Like my wife's coming in. She's been down dealing with some personal stuff, and she's coming in, and my kids are coming in, and so I'm really excited just to get family around. And, yeah, they'll be going to the games, and that's exciting, and, you know, we're going to start at home, and so they'll be here. It's just been a weird year. Like, you know, my family is usually a lot more connected to the team, and I'm usually a lot more connected to the families of the team, and I've still yet to meet a lot of people.
Right.
And so it's just a different year, you know?
I mean, it's a weird year, and Saturday against the Flyers was a weird game. I mean, you had so much salary sitting up in the box, like all looking at Ovi's cell phone. It was him, Carly, Backstrom. You had Craig Anderson in net, who gave a really good performance in that game. So talk about that Flyers game and how that panned out. Our guy Lars Eller came up big late for you guys.
Lars has been on point for about a dozen games now. He's obviously a terrific player, but you know, we've had a couple conversations, and for me, Lars, the last 12 games has been one of our top players. He's been good defensively, offensively, playing against other teams' top lines, and that's really great to see from him. And you know, he's played with some different line mates. He's had to take on different responsibilities. I think he played 27 minutes in a back-to-back game, and he was outstanding. And so he was fantastic. But you're right, I didn't think about the dollar sign, you know, from that standpoint of a salary cap sitting out of the lineup, and it was pretty substantial. But I can't give our guys enough credit for, you know, battling through that game in a back to back. We were short, and you know, things got shorter when TJ left the game, and yet the guys still pushed through. They kept pushing. I mean, I liked the way we were a little slow in the second period. I thought we lost our way a little bit. The first was good, but man, I really liked how we fought for it in the third period in the overtime.
Joined by Washington Capitals head coach Peter Laviolette. I caught the end of that game on radio on 106.7 The Fan, and John Walton, who had the call, he was raving about Craig Anderson's performance to the point where he said he's now inserted himself into the conversation as far as playing in the playoffs,
really?
Being one of the playoff goalies. He was that good on Saturday, turning away the Flyers. Can you realistically think of Anderson as a playoff guy, considering how few appearances he's had during the regular season?
Well, few appearances. Yeah, so the answer is yes, he's in the mix. I mean, you know, right now when we play Boston tomorrow, it'll be him and Vitek are the two goaltenders on the bench and available. And so he's in the mix right now. You know, this is a veteran goaltender. This is a I don't know, somebody who's just been there and done that, and he's game ready. And the fact that he hasn't played games, that didn't seem to faze him at all. I can't say enough about how he's come in here and gone about his business as a veteran player, you know, going with the taxi squad on a lot of days and just taking shots and staying on point, being a positive influence and a positive factor around our guys. And the few games that we've called on him, he's nailed it. And so what he did do, what I really liked, was there was such a calming presence with him with regard to pucks around the net and handling the puck and communicating with our defensemen. He obviously made the saves that he needed to make, but his puck control, his puck handling, his communication, you could tell it was just somebody who was more experienced and a veteran player that had those type of skills to be able to help our defense when it came to corralling pucks and getting out of our end.
So what can you tell us, Coach, about just the overall health of let's start with Ovi. Obviously, he's missed a bunch of time here lately. You guys have locked up the second seeds. You're going to either host Boston or the Isles. I'd rather play the Islanders myself. You worked them pretty good in the regular season, 6 out of 8, I believe. Boston's more explosive. But talk about Ovi. Do you expect him ready for game one of that series, whatever series it is?
I mean, I do. I think sometimes you're hesitant to make these calls is because whatever comes out of my mouth is, you know, going to be live, you know, for print or for news. And sometimes you just don't know. And so I said, you know, I said back a couple weeks ago that I don't believe this will be an issue for playoffs. I still don't believe that. I think that he's progressing. You know, I'm about to head into the rink here. There's a chance that he'll be on the ice for practice today, full go. But I've got to get in and see, and he's got to make it through things. And, you know, there's hurdles that you have to jump along the way, and we don't want to rush it. You know, we don't want to put him in a position where there's a setback. And so we just want to make sure that things are good. But I believe that he's a player for the playoffs. I'll stay with that one.
Okay.
When you look at sort of the gauntlet that you have to go through this year, just, you know, to advance in the playoffs, I mean, does that ever keep you up a little extra at night? I mean, you know, we were talking about it before you came on, Coach, and it's like, man, you know, typically if you have one of the best records, you might have maybe a little bit of an easier opponent in the first round. Doesn't matter who you face up with, you're going to have your hands full.
Yeah, I think, well, I mean, obviously that, you know, I think there would have been a little bit of a break. And if it were regular, and then if it was a regular year, and that's the way we went, I don't know. At the end of the day, let's play. Like, whoever, you know, you got to win four rounds, and maybe you catch something on a normal basis that's slightly easier, but there's really no such thing in the playoffs. But, you know, if one plays eight or something like that instead of one playing four inside your division, you know, you might catch a little bit of a break, but once you get to the second round anyway, there's eight good teams left. And so you're going to have to be better than the opponent that you're playing. And so, well, everybody's kind of dealt with the same thing here. We'll be ready to play. You know, we're going in to have a practice today. We got one more with Boston, but, let's just get going with it and play some hockey and some playoff hockey. And I think the guys are excited about that. And, you know, whoever the opponent is, it is. That's the way it is this year.
How closely are you watching that Islanders-Bruins game tonight? I mean, is it 80% on your game plan, but 20% watching who's going to be your first-round opponent as they match up tonight?
Well, it's nice to watch it anyway, right, because we play one of them tomorrow, so
right.
That's a good thing. But you're right. There's, you know, something could be dictated tonight. The game might have meaning tomorrow. It might not have meaning tomorrow. And so we'll figure that out after the game tonight. But, you know, I think for sure that all eyes will be on that game tonight just to see what happens.
Mm-hmm. By the way, talk about TJ's week last week. EB went on a kind of a rant last week saying he thinks TJ Oshie should basically run for president, that he's that good of a guy.
Well, he just seems like the greatest guy ever.
He is. Yeah. Everything that you see is authentic and real. One of the most solid people that you'd ever want to meet. You know, what happened there, it really kind of flew, I don't want to say it flew under the radar, but on another night, you know, when there's not noise about the Rangers and the Capitals, on a different night, that's just a huge story. That's an incredible, incredible accomplishment of what happened. I mean, he flew out. He missed as little as he could, and he flew out, and he was there for his family, and then he flew back immediately and tested along the way to stay current with the NHL protocol and said he wasn't missing the game.
To come back and
have that impact in a game
right. When
you're feeling so much emotion, and then you see the love and the respect for him inside of our room, you know, in that post-game celebration or on the ice celebration or in the locker room afterwards. It's just, there's, you know, he's one of the real good ones out there.
Yeah, there seemed no doubt about that. So even the officials going up to him and like TJ hugging the official, it was just unbelievable. But I have a question. I don't know much about his dad other than he was was he a coach of some renown? Like, was he very well known in the circles? Because it seemed like everybody knew him. You know, what was his deal?
I think that when I can't speak to that because I haven't been here long enough.
Right.
And in a crazy year where I haven't met, I started the show by saying,
yeah,
I haven't met the families yet, you know.
Yeah, yeah.
I think on normal years, I think that parents and moms and dads and kids are around a lot more. And you get to meet families and get away from hockey and just the personal side of things. You get to, get closer. And so I'm sure that through the years of this veteran team being around, all the guys knew Coach. And I think more than anything, I think he's TJ's coach.
Right.
You think about, you know, like your parents are always your first coach. Like I got three kids still playing sports. I mean, I watch their games. I can't
right.
be to all of them. I try to make anything that I can, but it's so great on TV now with the streaming of all these games that you get an opportunity.
Right.
I still coach my kids. I'm their dad, but I coach them. I take notes. I talk to them after. I pick them up when they're down. I pound them when they're no good. And
right.
you know, you get on them. And, you know, you straighten things out. And so you're always a coach. I think your parent, as a parent with kids in sports, first and foremost, like you have an opportunity to be a coach and a mentor and even step away from that parent role sometimes. So it's pretty special when you get a chance to do that.
Right, for sure. Well, we all saw that, you know, when Osha came through. What night was that? I can't even remember now. Was it Saturday?
It was the second game
yeah.
in New York.
Yeah, it was incredible.
He missed everything. You know, he came back and he's like, holy cow, what happened here while I was gone?
Right.
Hey, Coach, real quick before we let you go, I don't want you to tell us anything, you know, that you don't want to. But can you tell me what's going on with Cousy, what you can tell us about Cousy, and will he be available for the Bruins or the Isles?
So right now these guys are in COVID protocol.
Mm-hmm.
And so I don't have an update or an answer on that. I mean, that's where we're at right now with them.
Okay.
And so there's time limits, and there's new addendums that came out from the league on, you know, vaccinated players. And so now we got to learn the whole new thing. We've been operating for 5 months here under the old rules. And you're trying to just stay up to speed on that, on when guys can be available, what the restrictions are, where do they fall, under what category. And so there's a lot that goes into it. But both these guys were under the protocol. And I'm on my way into work, and we might have some answers today. But you remember too, when it's not always a slam dunk that somebody leaves protocol and they're back on the ice playing.
Right.
You know, Ovi did it, but Ovi's, he's a bull. You know,
he's Ovi.
Right.
Yeah,
superhuman.
He's
Ovi.
And
yeah.
So he was playing. He basically, I'm playing. You know, he had one skate for 10 minutes. He's like, I feel great. I'm in.
And then
there's an actual, and I'm not saying with but when players go into protocol, some of them actually are dealing with some stuff because of the COVID.
Right.
There, it's not automatic that they come back and enter into the lineup. There's sometimes a process that goes with it.
Right.
So fatigue and other
I'm sifting through everything in here. It's been kind of crazy. Like,
oh yeah.
You know, I go back to that Philly win, man. I got to give the guys a ton of credit. They played their tails off, and we were short, and they stepped up in all kinds of different roles, and we were able to get some home ice. And so, you know, we're sorting through things. We're sorting through things in the locker room because every day it changes. They go in and you're dealing with something else. So, I'm going in today. Hopefully we get some good news on a lot of people, and, you know, we can start to build and plan for the playoffs.
Coach, always love talking to you. We'll talk to you next week, and best of luck this week.
Thanks, Coach.
Thank you, Coach.
All right, guys.
Yep. All right, buddy.
Take care. See you.
You too. Bye.
It's Coach Peter LaViolette from your Washington Capitals. He's been fantastic through the season. Maybe
he
I shouldn't make
awesome.
The assumption that he's going to be on during the playoffs because maybe we won't be able to talk to him during the playoffs. I'm not positive on that end. But either way, he's been great.
I love him.
And it's playoff week, so which is awesome that we're going to be talking playoffs here coming up in a few days. All right, coming up next, we're going to switch gears, open up EB's entertainment page, find out the latest on Hollywood and celebrity gossip and more. Don't go anywhere.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/decide. That's linkedin.com/decide. Terms and conditions apply.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Welcome back. Junkies on 106.7 The Fan. Still to come on the show, Chelsea Janes from the Washington Post on the Nationals, who have dropped a few of late. Heartbreakers, despite Scherzer being dominant with 14 strikeouts on Saturday. A couple walk-off wins for the Yanks. And Quentin Mayo on the Wizards at 9:25. Wizards have the Hawks twice. They're going to be without Bradley Beal tonight. And then they have two more games after that, and then it's playoff time for the Wizards. So we're going to be knee-deep in playoffs come next week, which is going to be fun because, look, it is the first round, but it's May. Usually May means, like, second round, maybe even beyond that. So it's hopefully we'll get, like, an extended run into June, maybe even into July.
That would be nice.
And then, boom, we'll be training camp, you know? So it'll be nice. We'll
in
talk
a perfect world, that's what would happen.
9:25. But right now, let's open up the entertainment page. Entertainment page is brought to you by Wave Soda. Wave Soda is awesome. Super simple, just bubbly water with a splash of real juice and a little caffeine. It's unsweetened, so no stevia or artificial sweeteners. Just a clean finish with only 2 to 6 grams of sugar and 15 to 25 calories per can. Enter the code JUNKIES. You get 15% off at wavesoda.com.
You know, I got just a funny little anecdote real quick before I jump in here. I'm playing golf tomorrow and Wednesday.
Oh, really?
And you doubling down?
This is the thing. My body's going to break down. I'm not going to – by Thursday, if I get through 36 holes in 2 days, I won't be able to stand up. And it's funny because I know, oh, woe is me, you know.
Too much golf.
It's a real problem. I'm playing to be social. I don't even really care about the golf. The golf is like, it couldn't be more tertiary. I mean, I just don't give a crap about it. It's just to be social.
So you were invited both times, or did you organize?
Both-ish. You know, just groups of people that I want to be with. But I don't care about the golf part of it. I just care about the social part. But by Thursday, if I make it through Tuesday and Wednesday, I won't be able to stand up on third. That's how grueling. You'll see.
He's an American hero. That Eric Pickle.
Don't use the word grueling.
You know, it can't come tomorrow.
It is to my body.
Thursday, I'm going to bring a Purple Heart in for you.
Yeah, I need it.
Hey, speaking of the Purple Heart Open is in roughly a month. I hope Drab and Valdez are getting. I hope they're getting their swings in.
Some guy's been tweeting us that. I can't remember exactly what his offer is, but he's been tweeting us at Junks Radio, and he wants to caddy for one of the junkies at the Purple Heart Open.
Size for one of them.
I'm trying to see what his offer is.
Why would you want a caddy? You have carts, right? You don't need that.
Yeah, but I need a guy reading my putts. So
I don't want him reading my putts.
No, I want him reading my putts.
No, it sounded like he wanted to be a personal caddy.
Yeah, like Cakes
just said.
Well, of course he does.
You're such a sucker.
Yeah.
He just wants to be in.
I know.
He just wants to be around you for 5 hours.
By the way, who's our foursome? Aren't we down a man?
Hey, you know what I could do?
We're down a man.
Well, since Pete is hosting afternoons, yeah. I can ask my new BFF, Logan, who wants to be in our foursome.
I've been bumped out.
By the way, it's fine. You can do whatever you want. But just so you know, I was in the original Purple Heart foursome.
Are you trying to get back in?
Well, I'm just saying I was in the original Purple Heart foursome.
They didn't even think about you.
And then I couldn't do it 1 year. And so Pete slid in, and then I'm not going to like bump somebody out, but just saying.
He says he wants back in.
He can play.
Yeah.
Ask Michelle Manti. She'll put you in a foursome somewhere.
Hey, create your own foursome.
That is hilarious.
You and Frank and Eric. And
I'm not in.
Koki.
I'm not playing.
Koki.
No chance. All right, boys. You guys broke my balls. Last week when I told you that I have a feeling this Bill and Melinda Gates thing had something to do with Jeffrey Epstein. Well, sure enough, this weekend, here I read the main headline on the Daily Mail. Melinda Gates has been consulting.
Daily Mail.
Okay.
Haven't you denigrated the Daily Mail 100 times on the show?
You denigrate it in the sense that it's just got killings and birthday parties.
Yeah, I go there for my beheading videos, not for my hard-hitting news investigative journalism.
It's turned into the best radio show prep website. I think the donk Piers Morgan is like the editor now of it. He's done a brilliant job. It is the best gossip site and news. But anyway, the headline, Melinda Gates has been consulting divorce lawyers since October 2019 when Bill's meetings with Jeffrey Epstein were revealed. And then you read more about it, and supposedly they met at Epstein's house for some function back in 2013 with Melinda. And Melinda was immediately creeped out by the dude. Because I think you remember later, like, I don't know if you ever saw any videos where they went through his house after he died, and he has like naked pictures everywhere and like nude statues.
Yeah, but it was like art, wasn't it?
Artish, but like creepy. You know, like probably pedophile art. You know what I mean? Like just like the kind of thing pedophiles might be into. And Melinda apparently immediately skeeved out by the guy, and she's like, "That's it. Here's my theory." Is that Bill kept up the relationship with Epstein for whatever reason. I'm not going to say...
Right, you're not saying Bill's into that or anything.
I'm not saying he's
like
into that, but for whatever, maybe he liked the philanthropy, maybe he liked the fact that they were both wealthy.
Right.
So
they had common interest. They were friendly.
So he kept up the relationship, and when she found out that she was still seeing him, she said, "That's it, you're Dunsky."
She probably said, "I don't want you hanging out with him."
Yeah, she said that back in 2013, apparently. She's like, "This dude is
took so long?
What do you mean? Well, I don't know. Apparently because of the divorce, the settlement. Think about it. The guy's worth $150 billion. It took a year and a half to figure it out. Supposedly, they had a date in mind. It was supposed to be, I think, maybe in March. And Melinda had actually rented an island. She was paying $132,000 a night for her and her family to just rent this island.
Just think, that's nothing. To me and you, that's a $30 night room.
You think she found that on VRBO?
How much do you think she gets they make an interest every day? It's probably ridiculous, right? That's probably an interest
payment. It's absurd.
And
he's got it all in the savings account, 0.5%.
Yeah, I'm sure.
And she was going to rent the island, and maybe she did pay for it anyway, for the family to be away so that when the news broke of the divorce, that they wouldn't have to answer any questions. But I guess the negotiations continued, and then they recently announced it, whatever it was, last week or so. And on the day of the announcement, they both made joint statements on Twitter. Bill immediately shipped over $2.4 billion in stock options.
I've got an announcement.
a little bit of a different one.
Yeah.
I saw this story. This was kind of sad. Tawny Katane.
Oh, yes.
I feel like she was on the show at one point, but maybe not.
Maybe.
I feel like she was. She was pimping something. She's a former... she dated the guy from Whitesnake, right?
David Coverdale. Put some respect on his name.
She was married to Chuck Finley.
correct? Mm.
Remember him?
Right. Of course.
I think she had a lot of other celebrities that she dated. She was in some of those videos, right, for Whitesnake?
Oh, yeah.
Here I Go Again, which is one that jumps out at me. She dated Rat guitarist Robin Crosby.
That's her right there on the album cover.
Yeah. She 59 years old.
That's a vinyl, piece of vinyl.
How did she die?
They didn't say at the time, but she had a lot of drug and alcohol issues. So you wonder if that didn't contribute. But kind of a sad story. You know, anytime somebody dies a little too soon, that's awful.
Did she have some sort of, like, when you mentioned she was married to Chuck Finley, who was the pitcher, right? Mostly for the Angels, at least that's what I remember.
Yep. He was very
Did
good.
She have some sort of, like, domestic violence or something?
There was some issue there.
Yeah. So
I remember something
that.
Wacky there.
Yeah.
She was dating OJ. Did you just say
OJ
that?
At one time?
Yeah,
no,
she's
I didn't
been
say
in
that.
Some volatile relationships.
No, I didn't know that at all. We talked about it earlier.
By the way, that was she was charged with the domestic. It wasn't Finley.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah, you're right. I'm reading it now. I guess he was with the Indians at the time. And
Tiger Shushu.
And he gave up 8 runs in the first 2 innings. She got pissed.
Yeah, it says Tawny Kitaen was charged with spousal abuse and battery for allegedly attacking her husband, Chuck Finley. They were arguing as they drove home from dinner. And she started pummeling him.
She was pummeled.
Best guess, he had a creeper. She found out about a creeper, attacked him. This is just my working theory.
According to the story, they were driving, so he's driving.
Yeah.
And Kitaen kicked him with her high-heeled shoes. She kicked him in the thigh and the leg and the arm.
Yeah.
She grabbed his ear and twisted it. At one point, her high-heeled shoe was on top of his foot, pressing the accelerator to the ground.
All right.
Oh, my
Medicine
God.
Football
Chuck Finley was probably like, hey, I know you act all wacky in the Whitesnake video, but that's a music video. This is real life. We're speeding down the highway. You can't act like that in the car with me.
But you're right. She had a ton of issues with the booze. Tons.
Yeah, so, sad story. We talked about it at the top of the show, or at least in the first hour. Elon Musk hosted SNL. Critics labeled it not funny, witty, or clever. Cakes. They bashed it. You know, LDs and I were talking about it before the show.
Be more funny!
And I think people have kind of written off Saturday Night Live for a long time now. But this might be the seminal moment where it officially jumps the shark, right?
Yep.
This could be
I feel like it's been years.
You can only make an unfunny person so funny, no matter how good the writers are.
Yeah,
although didn't they get 5 million viewers?
Well, it had interest.
Yeah, I mean, 5 million viewers is nothing to sneeze at.
It doesn't matter how funny or unfunny Elon is. The material's there.
Right.
It's all there for you.
Right.
By the way, I watched the entire thing. I didn't think it was terrible. Was he the best host ever? Of course not. He wasn't the worst. He's probably somewhere in the middle.
Right. Were you stunned when he said he announced that he had Asperger's, Cakes? That was kind of a revelation.
I mean, not really. I mean, he's just hasn't he always seemed like a little bit off type of guy?
Like I was saying, I don't really know him other than the name and reading tweets. Like I haven't seen him interviewed.
So you've never
I've never really seen him interviewed or I don't really know him. I just, you know, I know he smoked weed on Rogan. That's all I know.
I'm seeing a couple of columns here that say he's the worst SNL host ever.
In history?
Yeah. I mean,
did he like?
I can't believe you watched that.
Like, not
you watched it start to finish live. That's crazy.
Yeah, well, I was intrigued. He's a big name, and it's something out of the ordinary.
Right.
I mean, Elon has this like aura about him that people like.
He's like the hottest guy in the country, right?
Yeah.
I mean, he's like the guy.
Hi from New York, it's Saturday.
You know, if Elon tweets something, the world moves.
A lot of it is about comedic timing. I mean, he makes AWOD look like George Carlin.
Right. The timing is
like an older comic.
I love when you drop the old schoolers. Why didn't you drop Sam Kinison?
Yeah.
I don't know.
What'd you call like Henny Youngman?
What was the best sketch that they did with him? Was he in every sketch?
He was in about half of them, I would say.
Yeah.
He was.
I don't know. The Mario Brothers one, I guess, is the one that stands out.
There was a lot of Mario Brothers references,
I thought
right?
That was funny. I thought the one at the end when they were doing the Western bit, I thought was kind of funny.
Uh-huh.
Glad that didn't make you chuckle.
No.
Did the Mario characters?
They did a Mars bit where
he was Mario characters jump over pipes?
No, it was set in a courtroom. It made me laugh.
I just don't understand.
Did they do the Coneheads? Who played the Coneheads?
Yeah. The only courtroom I want to see is if they're doing Caveman Lawyer, the Phil Hartman.
But why Mario? Like, that is a reference of 20 years ago.
I don't know.
Makes no sense to me. It's not relevant today.
Well, Nintendo is still relevant.
I mean, he's a nerd, EB. They looked for kind of nerdy gamey skits.
Okay. I mean, couldn't think of an older reference. I wanted to do a Pac-Man bit.
Drab just gave you one. George Carlin. Yeah.
Right. Was he dressed up as the church lady?
Right. I don't even know. Cakes, why was Wario on trial?
It's Wario, number one.
Yeah, Wario.
Whatever.
I don't even know. I can't remember.
Right.
Well, one of the side stories was, you know, Dogecoin, which was started as a goof years ago, and it's been kind of caught up in that whole, like, AMC... you know, all these. What were some of the other stocks that were
boom? Ask Drab. He sank all his money into them.
GameStop, AMC, and all those. It's been kind of caught up in that. And Dogecoin, which is kind of a goof in the crypto world, has just, you know, I don't know, gone from less than a penny to, like, I think it might have peaked around 70 cents, maybe even higher.
It's 52 cents currently.
And then after or in the middle of Saturday Night Live, people were buying it all week on the hype. And I think it might have gone up, like, I don't know, 30 or 40 cents in, you know, this past week. And then it just plunged in the middle of SNL. Now, was that simply just pumping and dumping? Or is that because Elon sucked so hard that people were like, we got to get off this thing? Because he's been a big proponent of Dogecoin for whatever reason.
It started as a goof.
I think it's still a goof.
He said it in the, I think he did, like he was like the financial expert in the news portion of Saturday Night Live. And we played the bit earlier.
Yeah. And he said it's a bit, basically.
It's basically a scam.
But some people have gotten rich off it. Some people have gotten gone busto off it, too, though. Got to be careful with that. Anyway, there you go, Cakes. I entertained you.
You did, yes.
Nicely done, Bickle.
I am entertained.
Thank you.
All right, remember, we got Chelsea James on the Nationals at 9 o'clock and Quentin Mayo on the Wizards and the playoffs, which are approaching, coming up at 9:25 here on the Junkies.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify is got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odyssey podcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odyssey podcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/odyssey podcast.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Welcome back to the show. Junk's on 106.7 The Fan and NBC Sports Washington. Don't forget, coming up in the next hour, Chelsea Janes will join us to talk about the Washington Nationals and their latest struggles in the Big Apple. And Quentin Mayo is going to join us to talk about the Red Hot Wizards as they close in on a playoff berth.
Right. I know a lot of people are asking us on Twitter, about the FP situation. We don't know anything. We know the same thing you guys know. Just reading the articles, Apparently there's been some anonymous allegation, and hopefully they ferret it out, and hopefully the truth is found. But we have no idea.
Wish I had some more inside skinny than what we actually do. But like you said, we're reading the same things everybody else is reading.
Yeah.
I'd like to have a mole on the inside. I really would.
Right.
But at this point, we don't.
Yeah. It's just not a situation, too. I mean, we have a long-standing relationship with the Nats. We're just going to go out there and just start spewing rumors. We don't know. I might do that about other topics, but I'm not doing it about this one. No way. So,
if we hear more facts come out or something that we can report, we're happy to report those.
Right.
We just don't have any extra at this point.
So I know that over the weekend, DK Metcalf was, testing his wares against other sprinters. And maybe, in a bid to see where he stands, maybe potentially for an Olympic qualifying run or whatever. He's obviously one of the more gifted athletes in the league. And I guess he finished dead last in his heat.
Still respectable, though.
Absolutely. He was right there with the last guy, ran a 10.36. And all I know, to put it in context, Ben Johnson and these guys, what do they run, a 9.7 or something crazy? Or, is that what tall guy's name?
Usain Bolt.
Didn't he run a 9.7 something or 9.6? I mean, something crazy.
Or 9.55, I think.
Yeah, I mean, just something you can't even relate to. But just to put it in somewhat of a context, I saw that Marist, it happened this weekend, and Marist is just an average Division I school, that their sprinter just broke an 8-year school record, right? So you figure, Division I program, probably some pretty fast kids. He ran 11.0, apparently, right? And these are guys that all they do is track and field.
Right.
So for DK, I think, to go out there and run a 10.36 world-class speed with the fastest sprinters in the world, it's pretty incredible, actually.
It's pretty sick.
Yeah.
It's sick. He didn't embarrass him because he's so much bigger.
He's not quite.
You know what I mean? He's so much more muscular.
Well, and he's not training for it either.
He's like 6'3", 230. Yeah.
Well, remember how you would just take some track star and see if you could make him a wide receiver? That was a huge...
Like Skeets, Nehemiah, other guys have
done that. Yeah, that was a huge thing back, I would say, in the early 2000s. Watching that race, it's impossible. They're just so much tinier than DK Metcalf.
Yeah, the rare guys. There are rare guys, but yeah, I know what you mean.
Hey, you size for Diami Brown to try the 100.
I don't think Diami is as fast as you guys are giving him credit for.
How about your boy Jeff Bidette?
I don't know.
Former Washington football team member.
Yeah, no, I don't know. I don't even know. What did DK run in the combine in the 40? What did he run?
4.3 something.
4.3 something.
Oh, yeah.
He seemed to get off the line decently, and then they just kind of pulled away.
They said he was the second slowest off the line.
He was?
That heat.
He was?
Now, don't they always say the start is the
key?
That just shows his inexperience.
Yeah.
It just takes guts, because he could have got smoked, and everyone's laughing at him.
I know. Same respect I have for Tebow for putting it out on the line. I put him in the same boat. Obviously, he's more accomplished in his field than Tebow has been professionally. But Tebow's out there willing to get embarrassed by curveballs and double A and rookie league, et cetera, or even going to spring training. DK was out there willing to put it on the line with the fastest people in the world.
Why did he want to do it? Just to see if he could?
He just wanted to test his wares. See how he was against the best in the world.
Yeah,
we don't have that kind of competitive spirit.
No, but I think
we're
also
50.
He's saying growing up.
Yeah.
But imagine DK. Did he not run track at Ole Miss?
He was a hurdler in high school.
Yeah.
Not in college, too?
No.
And he apparently was
too.
Part of the 400 and 800 relay teams.
Yeah.
But he did not do it in college. He set school records at his high school with a 14.64 second time in the 110 high hurdles. And his triple jump, I actually would love to try this.
Yeah.
His triple jump was 46 feet, 5 inches.
Right.
I mean, could I do a, whatever the term is?
15 feet?
No, do like a 6 jump. Could I get that far?
Probably not.
Whatever you call that.
Snap your ankle halfway through.
So Horsey ran track, right? And he had, and he coached track at DeMatha for a few years after. So he had one of those tape measures that they use in track and field, right. And I did the long jump. I said, because I taught myself how to dunk. I could jump decently well.
I taught myself how to dunk.
Well, it wasn't natural. I had to learn in terms of I had to build inches to my vertical. So I tried to do the long jump, and, you know, obviously I would just compare myself to a world record. World record at that time was Bob Beamon. What did he jump? He jumped like 28 feet, I think, or 29 feet. So I jumped like, I think it was like 18 and a half feet, something like that, which I thought was pretty terrible. But the Horsey said that wasn't bad. It was something like 18 and a half.
You're pretty good, Pick. It's a pretty good jump.
For high school, it wasn't that bad. But I thought, well, that was terrible. I was 10 feet behind the world record. That has to be terrible.
Bob Beamon was 29 feet, two and a half inches.
Yeah.
So it's just unbelievable. But that triple jump by DK, and it might not mean anything, that just is unbelievable to me. 46 feet?
Yeah.
Well, the most disrespectful race, I don't know if you guys have seen it, I don't know how many Braves games you watch, is the Beat the Freeze promotion. Have you seen this? What they do?
No.
You know, it's similar to the President's Race, but instead of, you know, four guys with big giant heads running around the warning track, they'll put out this dude named the Freeze in like a superhero costume, and he lets the slow guy from the stands get the head start, like a 200-yard head start, and then he goes
and he just
tracks him down and beats him at the finish.
Oh, that's hilarious. Yeah. That's a good bit.
Some slow plodding white guy out of the stands just gets smoked by the dude in the superhero costume.
I love that. What were you gonna say, Drabby?
Oh, what was Robert's track specialty?
It was hurdles, I think.
Hurdles. Because they said he could have been an Olympian.
Well, that's the thing. He actually was a track star. They turned into a football player.
Right, because he was jockeying.
He was a legit track star. And I'm wrong about everything, but I feel like he ran at Baylor.
He did, but he didn't run in the 4.3s, I don't think, in his 40 time.
Who?
Robert. I thought it was 4.41 or something.
Maybe, but no, Robert was legit. I think they kind of hyped him up like the Olympics was something. Maybe if he focused on that instead of football, it would have been something potentially.
Well, he was also a hurdler.
Who?
RG3.
No, that's what he was. He was a hurdler.
Yeah, that's what Eric said.
What would our 100 time be?
Oh, my God.
Like 15?
15 at least.
Yeah. I mean, now?
Yeah,
20.
Now, like.
Now 20.
Probably 20.
15 is very generous.
Yeah.
You could be 20 because I know this. When my son was doing track, he did track and field, you know, at ages 10 and 11, mm-hmm. you know, pre-puberty.
Yeah.
The kids were, and they were finishing, you know, 16 to 18, like the kid that would finish like last. You could do 16.
I don't know. The last 7 or 8 years have been pretty brutal. Yeah. It's like you think you're pretty good. You turn 40 and you still think you got a little bit. And then right around 43, 44, you just crater.
You'll see.
Yeah, you'll see. Everything just, like, you got nothing. Like, you're jogging around your old stomping grounds and you're like, I'm barely moving.
Glacier
like
base.
Barely moving. Yeah, I don't know. It just happens.
All right, got to take a break. Coming up next, we're going to get into the Nationals. The Nationals suffered two late-inning losses over the weekend. Chelsea Janes covers the Nationals for the Washington Post. Joins us next here on the Junkies.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with 3 rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear.
We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic? And conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.